Luke 17:37. This particular chapter, as you near the end of the chapter, lots of words in red in my Bible. I like those words. Those were the words that came from the Master. And in fact, half of the verse that I look at was directly spoken by Christ Himself. But in this particular chapter, He starts talking about the end of time. We've heard some reference to the end of time. I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I know people get so intrigued as to setting dates and hours and times. I believe we can know the season, and we're certainly in that season of time. Doesn't matter what your view of end time is. I'm not here to meddle with that tonight. That's between you and God. And if you're here and you're not a preacher, it's between you and your preacher, what they teach you and what they lead you. Your salvation doesn't hinge on that. But I think we ought to realize one thing. No matter how it will occur, we do have to understand that the Lord is coming again. Just as sure as He ascended into the heavens, and the angels appeared and said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus you see taken from you shall come again in like manner." Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. My heart is so happy. My soul is so glad because Jesus is coming again. We do not know the day. We do not know the hour. But there are signs that we shall see at the coming of the Lord. He said, "Remember as it was in the days of Noah and Lot." In this particular chapter, He deals with the fact we need to remember Lot's wife, how she was so preoccupied with something that she left behind that it didn't matter that she was being spared from judgment. She got preoccupied in what was happening in her everyday life. Don't get so busy with this world and anchored to this world too deep. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep in this life because the Lord's going to call. In fact, right now, we ought to be about like Patton when He told him, "Pull up the stakes and fold up the tents. We're getting ready to go home, boys." It doesn't matter the day nor the hour, but we know should He call tonight, we are ready to go. I'm feeling better tonight. Thank God. And they started talking then. Suddenly He changes the direction. And He starts talking. "Do you not know that two men will be in the bed? One will be taken and one will be left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal. One will be taken, one will be left." Showing us that there is a crowd that is ready when He calls. And there is a crowd that is not ready when He calls. As sad as it is, there's fewer that's on the straight way than there is on the broad way. Scripture teaches us that everyone won't be saved. I don't know, when I went to the funeral the last time of someone, that a preacher stood up and preached and didn't try to preach them into heaven after they died. The truth of the matter is, you need to get right with God and let your family know you're right with God and die with a testimony on your lips and assurance in your heart that you're right with Jesus should He call you. But then we come to the text. They were troubled about that. He's talking about them going, them leaving. Where are they going? Where are they headed? Where will they be, Lord? Look down in verse 37. "And they answered and said unto Him, Where, Lord? Where are they? And He said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." My message tonight is, where are the eagles gather? Where are they? He said the eagles shall be gathered together. I told you it's dangerous ground because He's preached the life out of it. But I don't care if you preach about the eagle 1,000 times. The richness of it in Scripture, there's nothing in the world like it. Now, I started studying on this verse. And you know, I never did determine who decides who's a scholar and who's not. I hear preachers quote scholars all the time. I don't know what makes you a scholar and what doesn't. But I'll say this, a lot of the quote-unquote scholars, when I read after them, and believe me, I read dozens and dozens of them on this verse, and I disagree with all of them. Every one of them. So either I'm weird, or I'm really a scholar. Because almost every one of them said there'll come such destruction at the end that God will call the eagles together to prey on the dead bodies. This is what they said. The dead bodies that will be there because of the destruction of wars. And they tie in other scriptures. That sounds good, but you've got a problem when he used the word eagles. Eagles are not vultures. Eagles do not feed on dead, rotten meat. When eagles are born as babies, they're born with their mouth open. That's how you know if you really got saved or not. You want to start feeding right away. Mom and Dad will find that fresh meat. I remember the first time that I heard Roger preach on the eagle. He talked about watching a parent, one of the parents of an eagle in a nest, and went down to catch a fish, and on the way dropped the fish in the dirt and in the sand, and it refused to feed that dirty fish to that young one that was in the nest. Instead, it went out and caught another fresh fish to bring back, because it will not feed any of its young anything that's contaminated or dirty or rotten. Thank God for people that have a real born-again experience, that they don't want anything rotten in their life. They want to feed on what's good and what's fresh. I think you have a right to believe that your preacher can come in the pulpit on Sunday and have a fresh loaf of bread from heaven's ovens. I don't care how long we preach, how far we go. Thank God there is new things every day that God will give us. God will feed to us and help us as we grow. Whither the eagles gather. Where do eagles gather? Well, one thing is they gather upon the wind. They like riding the wind. See, if you knew how they had to learn to fly, you'd know why they like the wind. Because most of them don't want to fly. They don't want to get out of the nest. Feel a little lonely up here right now. They don't like that experience. And finally, Mama decides enough is enough. Takes off the soft lining, the briars, and that old cold rock that they're on, that nest that they build there for life. It's not comfortable anymore. Brian talked about the Lord making us uncomfortable. Sometimes He has to do that to get us out of the nest, to learn to fly on the wind. It's a lot easier to stay there and let somebody feed you. It's like a lot of you folks. You just come in every Sunday and say, "Here I am, preacher. Feed me now." Haven't done nothing all week. Haven't prayed. Haven't invited anybody. Haven't read one verse of Scripture. I'm not going to say amen, but you go ahead and feed me now. I'm not going to back you. I'm not going to say amen. But now, if something happens to tingle my spine, if you preach me happy, I'll think about smiling anyway. I think we'd be a lot better off if we just threw some of them out of the nest. Had a preacher last week, we were talking, I was having communion on Sunday night. He said, "Do you all have open communion or closed communion?" And by that, what he's meaning is members, the only ones allowed to take communion, or how do you operate? I'm not telling you what to do in your church. If you're born again, you examine yourself and you look at your heart, and you're welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. If you disagree with me, then you can tell somebody else about it, because you tell me about it, I'll turn around and walk away. Not going to argue. Hey, preachers, listen to me. Never waste good preaching time fussing. And he said, "Well, we do not allow that. What's wrong with you?" He said, "In our church, if they're not a member, then how do you hold them to accountability?" So he gave me his dissertation for 30 minutes. Scolded me. I never fussed back. After it was over, I said, "So you're telling me, if you do it your way, then you have them accountable." He said, "Yeah." I said, "How many members do you have in your church?" He said, 578 members. I said, "How many did you have Sunday?" 89. I said, "Brother, you got some cleaning up to do in your roll books. I didn't come to preach that, but boy, it would preach tonight. But see, once that they're uncomfortable, they get out of the nest. And when they're out of the nest, they don't start flying all the time. The reason they learn to love the wind is because they're flying. And they feel like they're going to die in the process, hit the ground, before that they'll ever know how to fly. And suddenly the mother, the father looking overhead for the enemy. And the mother swoops down and grabs that young just before they hit the ground. Isn't it good to know that the Lord can fly faster than we can fall? And that little bird learns the importance of riding upon the wind. If it's not for the wind, then that bird can go nowhere. Let me tell you something, folks. It is not by your power, and it's not by your might. It is by the wind of the Holy Ghost that we come together and sit in heavenly places. And when we learn once again to ride upon the wind, that changes our life. Oh, we're so intellectual, it makes me sick today. Dr. Bob Hoots was in with us a week ago Sunday, and he made this statement, said a young university man came up to him and he said, "Disagree with everything you have to say." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you preach out of the Bible." He said, "The Bible's full of mistakes. Full of errors. And you're trusting the Bible?" Bob said, "I sure am." He went on for a little while. Dr. Hoots looked at him and said, "You're a pretty smart boy, aren't you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You know what? A young, intelligent man like you, what you ought to do in your spare time? Write a Bible. You write a Bible and tell about how a man's going to come hundreds of years later and be crucified on a cross, buried in a tomb, and rise the next day. You let it go over a 1,500-year period of time. And every word of it come to pass, just the way you prophesied." He said, "Then come back and talk to me." We're so intellectual today. We want to try to impress people. I tell you what I crave more than anything. I crave those old time saints of God. That many of them, it was all they could do. They struggled to read a verse from the pulpit. They couldn't get a word out. But they knew what the wind was. And when they started to look in the Word of God, the power of God came down on them, lifted them up into heavenly places. We need to learn to ride upon the wind. It's not by your programs either. It's learning to let the wind take you where it will. You know, Nicodemus said, "I don't understand being born again." Jesus says, "It's like the wind. You see not from whence it comes, and you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it listeth, where it's gone to. But you can see the evidence of it." Oh, I love to see the wind blow. I love to see the Spirit come in when saints of God are at their lowest. And they're just like a kite in the wind. They feel like they can't go anymore. And then suddenly God picked them up. Brian mentioned we had about 30 or 35 deaths, and that just in about a 2 to 3 month period. Dear saints of God, one dear lady battled cancer for 5 years. Her and her husband, faithful, never missed church. And she got down the end, and oh, it broke my heart. I'd go visit her, and she'd say, "I can't feel God. I can't see, preacher. I can't see where He's at. I just feel numb when I pray." Don't you be judgmental. The devil's torturous to us. And I'd go back and I'd tell her about the times God had blessed her and tell her about the testimony she had. And I said, "Honey, I don't know when and I don't know where. That's God's business. But every time you feel that way, you just look down to the end of your bed and you lift up your head, because in a little while you'll see Him." We had 4 people in hospice. One room right after another. Every one of them dying. 2 of them died in less than 12 hours apart. She was the first to go. And when she made her crossing, Her daughter called and was crying and said, "Preacher, it's the most wonderful thing." Said she'd been in a coma. Said all of a sudden she raised up out of that bed, stuck her hands out, and said, "Oh, I see Him. Oh, I see Him riding upon the wind." Knowing what the wind of God was. When Dad preached here 3 years ago, he didn't preach the sermon people wanted to hear. He preached the sermon that was most important to God's will. No one knew what was going on that night except Dad, God, and the angels in glory. But he rode upon the wind. When Dad passed that morning, Mike had been calling, Bill had been calling, Roger was there, the church was there. And about 3 or 3:30, I'm laying in the bed. And out of nowhere, my wife and I, we looked at one another suddenly. And I said, "Did you feel that, honey?" She said, "Yes." Oh, bless God. There was a breeze that came over us. I said, "Dad just winged his way back to glory." All of a sudden, the phone rang. It was Mike. And I said, "Mike, Daddy just went on, didn't he?" He was probably wondering, "How did you know that?" I felt the wind. Thank God for the breeze of the Holy Ghost that blows upon our soul, that the devil will try to stop that from happening. But there's still churches that believe in the wind of God and the power of God. And without the power of the Holy Ghost, we're nothing. Nothing. Oh, glory. Where the eagles gather upon the wind. Not only upon the wind, but into the sun. Hallelujah! I'm about to get blessed tonight. Into the sun. The eagle's one of the rare birds that have that wonderful, wonderful ability to gaze into the sun. They are sun gazers. You know how they do that? They got two sets of eyelids. One of them is tinted. One of them they blink for lubrication, just like you and I. The other one, it can roll in from the sides. And it's like God has built inside of them sunglasses that they can go straight toward the sun. And by the way, the reason that that works is they have a special oil in their eyes. I don't think you heard me. They have a special oil in their eyes. They can stare at the sun for minutes on end, and it doesn't blind them, and it doesn't bother them. In fact, the more they look at the sun, the better they like it. No wonder the Bible says, as Christians, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the Son of Jesus Christ, His Son, His blood, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Three times they stare in the sun. Three reasons. When they're sad. When they're sick. And when they're dying. When their body's absolutely worn out. They say, "If I can just get on the wind. If I can just look into the sun." You know what's wrong in America today with churches? We can't stand to see the glory. We can't stand to see the brightness of His countenance. Because we know in order to do that, we've got to have eyes that are anointed with the oil of the Holy Ghost. But the more the anointing, oh, the sweeter the sun. Their eyes are special, you know. When they're born, they've got little pleats inside their eyes called pectins. Those pectins are filled. It's like little tubes. It's filled with a fluid. And inside that fluid are all kinds of electrolytes. Electrolytes are magnetic in nature. And as they age, those electrolytes inside of that remain.
And those tubes get more rigid. And they get harder and harder. And when the eagle gets on the wind, the eagle never worries about where it's going. Because God has built inside the eagle an automatic homing device. When it starts to go the wrong direction, that electrolyte, those electrolytes inside of its eyes, it starts to put pressure and a pull on its eyes. It's like a bridle on a horse's mouth. And it says, turn here. Go the other direction. And it keeps going higher and higher into the sun because of the pull that's on its eyes. I'm telling you, this is the proof, folks. We've got our eyes on the wrong thing. We've got our eyes on this world. We've got our eyes on the economy. We've got our eyes on what's happening around us. But I feel a pull from yonder's world. I feel a tug upon the eyes of my heart that says the church is nearer home now than she's ever been. In just a little while, God's going to call and we're going to answer. There's a pull that pulls us there, that we know we're getting closer and closer and closer. I'm saying this, don't get your eyes off the goal. Keep your eyes on the glory of God. Keep your eyes on the things of God, because it won't be long till God will call and we'll answer. Sometimes I do sermons and songs. Don't worry, I don't sing. I had one precious couple in our church. They moved up to Columbus. When they went to Columbus, they went over to Brother Mike's church. It's the mom and dad of one of our preachers in the church. And she came down sick, and Sean and Mike, bless their heart, they visited her. No time at all, they came back, said she had cancer, and sent her home. If I remember right, they sent her home that evening. You and Sean went over. Before the next morning, hospice wasn't even there 24 hours. She was gone. Her dear husband was sick. They hospitalized him. Didn't know if he could make it to the viewing. Finally, they let him out of Columbus to come down to the viewing at Portsmouth, and Brian and I had the funeral. When we had the funeral, for her, he finished and he said, I want to come to church tomorrow. He came to church on Sunday morning. He was so blessed. We'd honor the veterans that day, and he was a veteran. Oh, he looked so sick, Roger. Afterwards, they rushed him right to the hospital. They called us back and they said, he's got cancer. And they're not looking for him to make it. He got worse and they moved him into hospice. When they took him into hospice, less than 2 months before, his wife felt the pull. And all of a sudden, he started feeling the pull. I went in and I said, Bill, I'm going to pray for you. He said, how are you going to pray? I said, well, Bill, I'm going to ask the Lord to touch you. Oh, he's already done that. I said, Bill, you're dying. He said, but I'm going to live. He said, don't ask God to keep me, preacher. Pray the Lord just takes me on. I said, Bill, your boys are here. I can't pray a prayer like that. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray God's will be done. That's all I'm wise enough to do. And he said, but preacher, I just feel like I haven't done anything for God in my life. He said, I've been in church and said, I've tried to serve the Lord, but I failed in so many ways. He said, I'm going to meet the Lord, and said, I wasn't called to preach, and I couldn't sing, and I couldn't do all these other things. He said, what am I going to show the Lord when I get home? And I said, well, Bill, you got a preacher boy here. I said, you've got wonderful daughter-in-laws. you've got blessed grandkids. They're all saved. I said, you know what you ought to do? I said, just hold your hands up when you get to Jesus. Say, with what you gave me, Lord, I did the best I could to give my family to you and to be the dad that God wanted me to be. They called me. They said, preacher, no need to come. He just went suddenly. Said, but it was something else. Said, that old dog down there at hospice, they keep an old dog down there, German Shepherd. Said she come in there and she sniffed all over him. Laid her head on the side of the bed. And the nurses came running in and said, are you doing okay? Bill, are you all right? And he said, I'm not doing very good. He said, but I'm feeling better all of a sudden. And then a little while he went to sleep and he raised up and both boys beside the bed and he took their hands and brought them together in his hands. He just raised up and held their hands out. Asked to say, Lord, how to do? How to do? See, the amazing thing about getting on the wind allows you to rise above the storm. And by the way, as you rise above the storm, you get closer to the sun. And the other enemies of the eagle can't stand to stare at the sun. So you know what happens? They get lost in the sunlight. They can't find you because you're hid in the sun. And they can't go into the sun. I'm preaching now, folks. If you're looking for a good place to say amen, you just missed it. The enemy can't find you because you're going into the sun. And where do we get that we have to wait for God to do something good for us to get on the wind and get above the storm? It didn't change that the storm was there. He helped them get above the storm. They have to go through it to get above it sometimes. Sometimes the current's strong enough, they're in the air before the storm ever comes. But other times they know, if I can break through this storm, I'm going to get above the clouds and I'm going to see the sun again. At his funeral, they sang a song. When they sang that song, I told them, I said, I don't care what you do. I've never heard it. But I said, come Sunday, you're going to sing it. And if Brian could tonight, I'm going to let him help. Try to tell you what I'm feeling in my soul. Sing it, buddy.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears.
Well, listen now.
You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've felt more joy than hurt as His grace rolled down upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life.
I've been blessed.
I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way that I can say it is this.
God's been good.
God's been good.
Why, glory?
In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Oh, I've had my share of hard times. I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through
I say one thing. What got me in this text at first was we know that He was talking about those eagles that gather. That's the first impact on my heart. Those eagles that gather when the Lord calls them home. But then I look closely at what Jesus said. Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Correct me if I'm wrong, but who's the head of the church? Jesus. And what does He call us to say? Pardon? We're the what? Where? Whithersoever the body is, the eagles shall be gathered together. See, do you know what He's telling us? Roger, I don't have to wait until He calls me home to heaven to ride the wind. I don't have to wait until I get to heaven to get above the storms. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to stare into the sun and the countenance of His brightness. I don't have to wait to get to heaven, to get away from the enemy. Some of you have fought the devil tooth and toenail. And you knew you didn't have the money. And you knew you didn't have the strength. Some of you knew that people in the church was going to get mad because you loaded up and come to sunshine weather. But you did it anyway. Now I sure would hate to take all that time and get all dressed up and come in here in this meeting and not get a ride to wind. It won't take your troubles away, but I want to tell you, when God picks you up, you just kind of forget about your troubles for a little while. You forget about the things you don't have any control over. You forget about all the heartache and all the sorrow you've had. You know why? Whithersoever the body is. How many of y'all saved tonight? Whithersoever the body is,
Thither shall the eagles be gathered together. And I got to thinking there this afternoon as I bowed my head and placed my head in my Bible. Lord, you've allowed me together with some mighty eagles in my life. And tonight in that congregation, there's going to be people that they're eagles. Mighty eagles. And you're going to allow me together where the eagles gather. Oh, excuse me, I'm about to get plugged into Heaven's 220 tonight. You're going to allow us to ride upon the wind. You're going to allow us to have the opportunity to point out some eagles. They're here. They're here. Aren't these guys eagles? Have you ever heard anything negative come out of his mouth? I haven't. Thank you for being an eagle. I think I saw Brother Fred back there from Marion. What an eagle. Oh, Brother Denver back there. What an eagle. Brother Jacob. He can run in a wheelchair. I haven't had the privilege of seeing him walk. I will. First step might be on streets of gold, but I will get to see him walk. But I have seen him fly. You know what I miss in our churches? For no good reason at all. People used to feel the wind blow. Somebody way over here would catch a glimpse of somebody back there that's been an eagle. They have to get up and go all the way over there while they're singing. Didn't matter who was preaching or what was going on. They just have to get over there and hug their neck and ride the wind with them. Whithersoever the body is, thither shall the eagles be gathered together. Is there anybody here that's been an eagle to you in your life? Oh, I guess not. I guess it's all about you. You never needed anybody to pray for you. I was getting ready to come out of the room. When I started out of the room, I'll just be honest with you. I said, Lord, I can't preach like those preachers can preach. You know what I am. A lot of you, first time you ever heard me, you never had me back. And I'm not good at politics. I'm just not good at politics. Roger will tell you, I'll call him every year beforehand. I say, Roger, there's a lot of good preachers down there. Just let one of them do it. I guess I got that from Dad. Dad was that way. He always put others first. And I thought, I can't do this tonight, Lord. I'm scared to death. I can't do this. And I heard from the eagle. Phone rang. I said, hello. She said, hey, sweetheart. How's the best looking man in America doing tonight? She said, I had to work late, but before I got in the car to go home, I'm in the car now. I just wanted to tell you, I prayed for you. And I touched heaven. It'll be okay, honey. She said, I'll be listening. I'm glad God's given us some eagles. Brother Mike McCoy, do you know of any eagles here tonight?
Go tell him. Go tell him. Brother Billy, you know of any eagles here tonight? You go tell him. Go tell him. Hey, Susie, do you... Well, she's already... She's the eagle. Huh? Mike, do you know of any eagles here tonight? I know you got the top, but go tell them. Go tell them. Point them out. Is there someone that's been an eagle to you? Whithersoever the body is at, thither shall the eagles be gathered together. Hey, you are catching on now. You're catching on. This may be the last time, Roger, that we'll get to ride the wind on this earth. The next gust from glory might take us into the presence of the Lord. I want to be where the eagles are at. I'm glad that I'm gathered with eagles tonight. Some of you flying, some of you in the balcony, I know you're afraid to move up there, but you know, it seems like you don't have any problem running in and out when you need to answer the phone or take care of something else. So why don't you just go find somebody? Come on down tonight and find somebody. Tell them, I'm glad I'm with an eagle.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I mean, what'd you come to church for? I didn't come to be seen. I come to fly with the eagles. You start telling one another how much you love the Lord and you love each other. You love the bonds and unity of the Holy Spirit. Start moving through us and find out. We'll go where eagles fly.
I love you,
bud. Oh, preacher, we love you. Where are the eagles gather? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart, sir. Hey, Roger, there's an eagle. An eagle coming to an eagle. Well, glory!